Hi, I'm Neil Ronahan. Welcome to NWR Newscast, episode 28. I'm your host for this evening, or afternoon, or morning, or whatever you're listening to the show. And with me, as per usual, we got the sickest of the sick. He's on fire, Andy Gergen.
What's up, everyone? My voice is fucked. Explicit tag.
And we also have, acrobating it up, that's Zach Miller over in Alaska. And Nate, we also have Nathan Mustafa, who is still playing Etrian Odyssey and likely is playing it as we speak.
And correct.
Yes,
As I said, I'm your host, Neil Ronahan, and I'm just going to take this time right here to remind everyone that this is Game Club Week. Shantae Risky's Revenge, we'll be talking about that at the end of the show after the credits, because some people like it that way. Hopefully you played it. It's a pretty damn good game. Also, I haven't done this at all yet, and I'm going to do it now. I'm going to pimp my wares, and that's I'm a freelance writer at 1UP.com currently. I had an article on Virtual Boy and 3DS that went up a couple weeks ago. And tonight, after this podcast, I will be finishing up my latest piece with 1UP, which is about the origins of Kirby and how it affected Nintendo and HAL Lab and their development.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hitting the big time.
Shit. Yep. And I got another piece in the works, too, but I'll talk about that. That should probably be up next episode. So, yay!
Yay!
And without further ado, let's go right into what you're reviewing. And we got Andy with NBA Jam, which, as we all know, is actually coming to Xbox and 360 as well, or Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 as well. But exclusively for the next couple months. So the former
Wii exclusive NBA Jam. Yeah, I got this. I got this late last week, and I didn't have as much time as I would have liked to play it over the weekend. But I've put a little bit of time into it now, and I guess my thoughts on this game is, and I know you and I differ on this, Neil. But I kind of feel like the game feels like it was made by two different teams, and I guess what I mean by that is, the core game, the NBA Jam game that everyone's been looking forward to playing, it's really good. Like, they nailed it.
So
I mean,
good.
It is exactly like you remember NBA Jam, only better, because chances are if you went back and played NBA Jam from the mid-90s, you'd be like, this kind of sucks now.
I can refute that, because I was actually playing the Super Nintendo version of NBA Jam with a couple friends over the summer. It still fucking rules.
Does it? Well, fair enough. But you get what I'm saying, though, right? Like,
yeah.
Oftentimes, when you go back and play a retro game, you find that it doesn't quite hold up like you'd think. And more often than not, when you're trying to remake a game like NBA Jam, sort of from that time frame, you're not trying to make it authentically like it was then. You're trying to make it feel like you felt when you were playing it then.
Yeah.
You basically need to recreate the basic frame of the game and then modernize it in all the subtle and transparent areas. Know what I mean?
Totally.
And they did that. They nailed it. Like, it's fast.
I agree.
I think it's probably faster, considerably faster maybe even, than the original NBA Jam. It's just so quick-paced. And they have lots of cool content. Like, the remix modes are pretty fun. There's some cool power-ups like Rubber Man, which I haven't really figured this out for sure yet, but I think Rubber Man makes you steal better, I think.
And I know the red one, like, power makes you bigger. I don't know. Like, that was kind of a minor complaint, but the power-ups in the, I guess it's the remix mode, versus mode, it's like, they just kind of pop up randomly, and I feel like the computer always knows exactly where they are, and you're kind of scrambling to be like, oh shit, there's a power-up, where is it?
I haven't really had any problems like that. I guess one thing that was interesting, in the very last game that I played before I turned it off before the podcast, I wasn't really paying attention during the loading screen, which, by the way, has frozen on me 3 times.
I've had no problems with that.
I've had problems with Lego Harry Potter freezing as well when I reviewed that, and I don't know if I should blame my Wii or what, because as mentioned a couple episodes ago on this podcast, my Wii has been kind of acting up lately, but not usually in-game. But anyway, I wasn't paying attention to the loading screen the last time that I played, and what I found was that the mini power-up, the one that shrinks your players, was applied permanently throughout the entire game. And I have no idea why.
Wow.
Yeah, it was. So we played an entire game of 2-on-2, as half sized, and then one of the opponents got another mini power up and got even smaller. It was ridiculous. But it's,
I think
it's
like, I want to say like there's a mode like that somewhere in it, but
maybe that was it.
I mean, I've basically just been going through the campaign in remix mode.
Yeah.
That time. I put a couple hours into it, but there's a lot of content in there as far as like, you know, you have to play every team in the league in the campaign, and then they have all the super teams, and then the remix mode. There's what for every team in the league. There are three
matchups. Yeah,
some of them are basketball.
And I spent most of my time in the game so far in the Remix Tour, which, like you said, it's you take every team in the NBA and you play three matches against them using some variant on funny rules like 21 or dunking contests where you have to break the backboard before they do. And most of those are pretty cool, except for there's only about so far what I found, there's only about five or six different games, and you're playing every team three times.
I guess, yeah, let's list these out. There's a Remix Versus, which is the one that we were talking about with the power-ups.
Right.
There is Domination Mode, where
it's like King of the Hill.
Following this game, yeah, they have like the half-court version of it, where it's kind of like you're viewing it from the other basket, and then you see the half-court there. And Domination Mode is where there's five different points on the court that you take shots from there, and then you want to try to keep those spots yours. They'll eventually run out, and you're trying to get to 100 points. And depending on how long you have them, you get so many points.
Yeah.
Also in the half-court thing, there's 21, where it's you and two other players, and you compete to try to get, you know, 21 points. What am I missing? There's Smash, which is the dunking contest where you're playing a regular 2v2 game.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole objective of it is to break the backboard.
Well, and then there's the boss battle mode, too, where you do some sort of a specialized match against a legend from that team. But once again, we've listed about six different modes, and you play every team three times, which means once you play through
90 or so?
Yeah, 90 different matches where you're playing one of the same six modes over and over and over again. And
it's really good, but it just there's not as much variety. Like, I'm at a point in Remix Tour where I'm just looking at it, I'm like, fuck, I don't want to play that again.
Yeah. Well, and the classic campaign is the same thing. It's 2v2,
and
you play it a lot. And that
it's
sort of
really good, though, but it's just there's
it's really good, but it's the same 2 to 5 minutes of gameplay over and over and over again. And I want to say that kind of leads into what I was saying earlier. It feels like it was made by two development teams, because that leads into my complaints about the game. And they are fairly nitpicky, but I have a lot of them, and it's driving me crazy. First, the original NBA Jam had a tag mode where you could, once you pass the ball to the other player on your team, you controlled that player. Whoever you controlled is whoever had the ball. That mode's not in this game, and I never played with that mode off before.
The funny thing is that, like, I mean, I totally believe you when you say it was in the console version back in the day, but I don't remember that at all. And I mean, that's why, like, I came into playing NBA Jam on Wii, having, you know, played it at prior events and everything, and knowing how it played in that way, and that's how I remember NBA Jam.
Well, like, I don't want an AI partner.
It wasn't as much of a big deal to me.
I don't want an AI partner. Like, it's okay when I'm on offense and there's an AI partner running around for me to pass to. When I pass the ball, I want to control the guy that I pass to, like every other basketball game on the planet. It doesn't work that way in NBA Jam, which is how it worked in the arcade, to be fair, for NBA Jam back in the day, and how it was by default on the consoles. But I never played with that mode turned off when I played it before, and I'm really disappointed that they wouldn't bring it back, because it seems like a natural option to me. But that's my first complaint. Second complaint, okay, if I'm playing a game that has multiple control options and I'm playing with one of the non-default control options, don't give me button presses with the default control option, like on the screen, like prompts.
Or at least make it A. Like,
every single time, I'm
really confused.
Every single time when you finish the game, it tells you to hit A to exit the game when you're done playing, but when you're playing with a classic controller, it's actually B. And it's irritating because you can't quit the game. And one time, not only did it do that, one time I accidentally like leaned on the Wii remote in the couch next to me, and it passed control back to the Wii remote, which meant it wouldn't let me quit out of my game because it keeps all the control options open at the same time. So if you accidentally like hit a button on the Wii remote with your fat ass while you're playing, then the classic controller like quits on you for a second, and it wouldn't let me quit out of my damn game. I had to go back to the Wii remote to quit out. It's little things like this. The game literally feels like they spent forever, like 95% of the development time, polishing the core product, and then got like the C team to develop the package around it. Almost like maybe they weren't sure what systems the game were going to come out on, so when they got the core product finished, until they finalized the release schedule, they didn't develop the interface for it. Like, that's the way it feels to me. It drives me crazy. I don't like the idea that I lost my train of thought. I had one more complaint. Now I'm missing it. I don't like the fact that when it gives me loading screens between matches, it always defaults to the little like EA Sports does this all the time, where they show you the controller and say, "Did you know you could lift the controller up and slam it down to dunk like in the middle of the loading screen?" It always does that with the Wii Remote,
Yeah.
and I don't play with the Wii Remote. Like, it's functional. Wii Remote controls are fine, but this is a game banking on nostalgia. There's a reason Punch-Out went with NES style controls by default, because that's the way everyone wants to play it. It's almost
Yeah.
like classic controller mode was an afterthought, and that's dumb. Oh, that's my other big complaint. There's no customization on controls. I want to hit the right trigger for turbo because that's the way I remember playing it on the consoles. I'm pretty sure on the consoles, either trigger was turbo, but it's not.
Yeah,
It's
I want to
only
say
left
right
trigger.
trigger, at least from my memory of it.
Yeah, in this game, it's only left trigger, and I can't change that. And it's such a small thing, but with a game that feels so lovingly created in most of it, why are so many of these really obvious options not attended to? It just doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know. It's really taking away from my appreciation of the core product, especially since the core product is very good, but heavily repeated for a long period of time. You know what I'm saying?
I have to say that, well, I mean, just before we go on, I really hate the Wii Remote nunchuk controls. I think there's just no precision with the going up and going down with shooting, and I felt like it would kind of like it would sometimes like there would be a delay in trying to do that, and I
Sure.
found them, I guess, functional, just not if I wanted to be really good at the game, I couldn't use it.
Well, to be
And
fair, I
then
only played one game with them, and then I switched to the classic controller pretty much
Yeah, I
immediately.
think I was halfway through my second game where I was just like, well, fuck this, I can just use the classic controller. And you could also use a Wii Remote on its side, but
But
I was looking at the control options for that, and that's
yeah.
like the shit where it's like, hold B while doing a backflip with your right hand,
Yeah, it's like the
and
Blaster Master
that'll
shit.
steal. It's a good option, but I mean,
It's like the
yeah.
Blaster Master shit where you had to hold on the B button to strafe. Well,
Yeah.
you have to hold the B button down for turbo in this game, and they might as well just have a turbo always on button or something, considering how
Yeah.
the you almost never let it go while you're playing unless you want to steal the
Yep.
ball. I guess I like the game. I'm probably gonna review it pretty favorably. I'm not gonna write the review until after the weekend because I have a little arrangement set up with some friends of mine from out of town to come in, and we're gonna play some two to four player, depending on how many of them show up. Because this is the kind of game that I gotta play multiplayer
Yeah.
before I write a review.
I was playing it with a couple of my friends last weekend, and it's a lot of fun with multiplayer, and I think
Yeah.
that's where the last ability with the game is going to come in. And
Absolutely.
that's why it kind of sucks that there's no online. And I mean, I'm not really a huge online gamer, but for most people, if you want to play NBA Jam online and you have a 360 or PS3, just wait for that. But if you don't really care about that, if you just want the game now, go get the Wii version. It's a solid game despite our complaints.
So yeah, I mean, if you liked the game back in the day and you've been looking forward to this for a while and you're not sure if you want to pick up the Wii version or wait, it all depends on if you like online play. But I can tell you that if you're not that concerned about options and modes and shit, just pick up the Wii version, you'll be fine. But if you kind of like if you liked the tag mode, beware of that. I didn't see anybody write about that in the coverage I read about this game before it came out, and I'm surprised. I thought everyone played that way. I thought it was kind of like in the Mortal Kombat for Genesis, how everyone turned the blood code on. I just assumed that was a thing that everyone did. Maybe not. But anyway, that's all I got to say about NBA Jam. I'm hoping to have the review done early next week after I have a chance to play some two, three, or four player this weekend.
All right, Zach, lay us on some Arrow the Acrobat.
All right. This is for the Virtual Console, of course.
And oh yeah, we're bringing back VC
Yep,
recommendations.
that's right.
It's
We had
already
our
been
first
brought in.
It's already been brought in.
yes, yeah, we had our first, I guess, like
Yeah,
we're bringing it
first
back, and
revival.
what?
They're gonna
I
go
guess,
up.
Andy, if you want to talk, or I could
Yeah,
probably
sure.
lead this through, and you can correct me.
Well,
That
this is
sounds like a
all
bad JRPG. The first revival.
the first revival. That's like the
I
opposite of
think
the last
that's in,
story,
I
isn't
think that's going to James right now.
Yeah, I actually just got the review copy. I'm gonna send it out to James tomorrow.
Oh, he already beat it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Neil had the patience to put together a spreadsheet of all the Virtual Console
It
games we
took
had
me
not
an
covered on the
entire
site.
night.
And so we sat down and kind of went through the staff and figured out who owned what, and we decided to go ahead and bring back the VC recommendations. I'm going to be putting them out bi-weekly, and they've already been assigned throughout the middle of January, so we've got it all planned. As long as we can get all the recommendations written on time, you should see it every other Wednesday, which is the day we record newscast. Not that it matters to anybody, but the first
that,
one went up last week, and it was
be a nice replacement for Extra Life and Retro Revival.
Well, I think the VC recs are pretty easy to do because they don't really require like a ton of time. It's just a couple hours of playing the game and then 15, 20 minutes to write up a couple of paragraphs about it.
I mean,
it.
And there's always a lot of those games where we've played a lot before and it's just kind of like, oh yeah, I remember this game. This is fun. Yeah. How does it hold up now?
And sneak preview of the next episode of Virtual Console Recommendations, Super Star Wars sucks. Back to you, Zach.
Oh, okay. Arrow the Acrobat is one of the last games that is released for the Virtual Console. It's by Samsung.
Actually, I mean, not to interrupt, but there's been kind of a steady of like one.
Yeah,
in, well,
I mean,
I guess
like
as far as I look at it, which at this point I look at this as episodes of newscasts as far as the Nintendo downloads.
Yeah,
we
that's
have
true.
One every episode. So I mean, it's not dead in the water. It's coming back a little bit. So
yeah,
I think Zach just meant it came out recently.
Well, you guys who listened to RFN last week know that Greg played Fasanadu on the Japanese Virtual Console, and that gives me a lot of hope because I loved that game. I've probably beaten that game five or six times when I was a kid. I loved it. Wish I still had my copy of it because apparently now it's pretty rare. Didn't know that. Sold my NES collection years ago. Yeah, that's what they're saying on
RFN.
How much
you want to buy my copy?
Well, I need to buy an NES too because I sold that shit years ago. But what I'm saying is, if that game – and apparently it's been rated in Australia, which means there's a fairly decent chance it'll come out here too. So Fasanadu, totally going to play that shit. That might even be a Game Club game. I think that game is fantastic.
Right on.
Anyway,
you know,
please.
Funny story about Xanadu. In Seattle, there's a comic shop downtown called Xanadu. It's a really great comic shop. And when I was at PAX 08, I got sick eventually of PAX, so I went over to Xanadu. And I found a cold cast statue of Brandy Carter from my favorite comic, Liberty Meadows, something I never thought I'd ever find. She was $200, but she was worth it. And that plane ride was not fun.
You're referring to her like she's a real person. Like you
yes.
bought a statue of her, and her statue exists.
She was
and
totally
like,
worth
waving
it.
Waving hi to you right now.
It's like
oh my god,
story,
she was
man.
She was so worth it. Oh my god, you guys, so
I got
worth
the
it.
Clap afterwards.
I have a
so.
Cabinet full of girl statues.
Let me ask Zach: is there cleavage?
What do you think?
All right, so that explains a few.
I'll have to take a picture of my girly cabinet, as I call it, and we can put it up on the thread.
Oh, thank God. That's a fantastic idea.
People can see how depraved I am.
Thank God. Make sure you put a dinosaur in there, too, just so everyone knows.
There's already one
in there.
Oh, thank God.
I knew it. I knew
thank
it.
God.
I knew it. It confirms everything I've ever thought about you.
Video games, dinosaurs, and boobies.
All in a cabinet.
Yep, all kept in one place. All right, Arrow the Acrobat blows. Do I have to go any further than that?
Really? I thought it was kind of well-liked back in the day.
People were smoking crack. I actually thought I remembered it being good, too, but it's actually really shitty.
Really?
There's only one musical track, and it's like a bad rendition of the, you know, carnival theme.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be so bad if Arrow the Acrobat didn't move perpetually faster as he moves from left to right. He's almost like Sonic. Where
okay.
you just start pressing right, and oh my god, he's going a million miles an hour, and there's some spikes, and now I'm dead. So yeah, Arrow the Acrobat blows.
Alright, fantastic.
Alright, cool.
Don't waste your money on it.
And that's the end of that chapter. Let's move on to Nate, who, what do you got for us, Nate?
Hey, last week I talked about Etrian Odyssey 3, and I'm still playing it. That's because I don't consume games at the same rate as James does, but
oh, so you're not superhuman, is what
Max
you're saying.
Dragon Quest IX kind of thing.
Yeah,
Dragon
well,
Quest IX
it's not,
you can play forever, dude.
Yeah,
this is one of those games, and I haven't beaten it yet, so I do feel like I played enough to probably write my review probably tomorrow or something. But
cool beans.
I can just keep playing this for quite a long time. It's because you know, still I enjoy it. It's getting significantly more difficult as I get deeper and deeper into the dungeon, but you know, still same thing I talked about last week. Really fun. If you like Dragon Quest IX, you'll probably like the class-based fighting and everything and all the exploration. It is significantly easier than the last two. I'm noticing that as I'm playing through it. Although, you know, I didn't play the first one, but from everything I've heard, it's harder than the second. And the second was pretty crushing. So this one's pretty easy. I think if you want to get into the franchise, just try this. There's not too much to say other than what I talked about last week, and I don't want to bore you guys. So
I already had to sit through about 20 minutes of NBA Jam talk, so...
Shut up, Zach.
Well, I was just writing notes for Polo Cast during that, so...
Boom shakalaka.
But I guess before we move on
if you have any questions about it, yes, I will field them.
Well, you're saying that, like, you keep on playing it. Is there kind of a defined endpoint in the game, or does it just kind of keep
no,
on
no,
going
it, it
going?
Ends. When you get to the end of the dungeon, it ends. You know, once you... explore as far as
have
you can.
Have you gotten to the end of the dungeon yet, or no?
No, I actually haven't gotten to that point yet. So,
how many hours are you into it so far?
I don't know where the counter is, but I've been playing like an hour and a half every day or two.
Okay,
so,
that sounds pretty long.
Yeah, and I guess I could be moving through the dungeon a little more quickly, but I'm kind of wary of just jumping into the next floor and then.
Yeah.
Getting my ass handed to me and thrown back to the, you know, someplace where I don't have a good handle on it and have to kind of make a couple days worth of journey back to the same spot. Yeah. So,
I mean, definitely from what you said about this game, I mean, last week, which if anyone's curious about this game, go to the last episode of Newscast and listen to what Nate talked about. But, I mean, it definitely seems like a good entry point for the series. And if I were to ever play an Etrian Odyssey game, it would be this game because the other two... I still have that, I was interested in the idea of them, and then when I read up of them, I was like, okay, I'm never going to be able to get into that. But from what I've heard you say and what I've read about Etrian Odyssey 3, it seems to have that low barrier for entry that Atlus seems to be doing in a lot of their games.
Like, yeah,
I know
they
Andy
did the same thing
Shear
with
the Wanderer.
What were you saying, Neil?
Andy reviewed Shear and the Wanderer for Wii earlier this year, and that seemed to do a lot of the same things to make that lower barrier for entry, so that way... You know, the hardcore people that have enjoyed the series can still get into it, but then newcomers can come to the franchise and not be totally left in the dark.
It's about as difficult or maybe even a little less than Demon's Souls for the PS3.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Wow, talk about a low barrier of entry. Wow.
I don't know.
That's like Mario 3. Are you kidding me?
Mario 3 is not bad. Come on.
I'm just joking around now.
I know.
You kidder. You're such a kidder.
Lol.
Lol.
So is that all we got for Etrian Odyssey?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I look forward to reading and probably editing the review whenever it comes in.
Yeah.
Because you're the only one who does it anymore.
Heyo. Anyway, so I'm going to talk about Scooby-Doo and the Spooky Swamp for DS.
Cool.
Which, not really going to spend that much time. This doesn't seem to be too lengthy of a What You Reviewing segment outside of NBA Jam.
Mm-hmm.
But I was playing it. I started playing it pretty much right after last week's show, and I was noticing a lot of the things that Zach talked about how great the game was show up in the DS version. And after playing it for a couple hours, and I was on the second episode of 3, I realized, I was like, I think these are just the same exact frickin' game.
Huh.
So I talked to Zach about it. But did someone say, hold on?
No, I said, ha.
No,
I mean.
Okay. I was talking to Zach about it, and we kind of deduced that it could be the same game. So then I contacted someone from the developer, Taurus Games, and pretty much they are the exact same game without, there's some differences in it, and that there's no voiceovers on the DS version, and there's no huggers enemy on the Wii. Only the DS has this additional little snippet of game mechanic, which there's basically these... enemies that will go up to you and start hugging you, and you have to, like, use a stylus to, like, scratch them off, sort of.
Oh, I see.
And other than that, there's no differences besides the levels on the DS1 are a little shorter, which I think is kind of interesting. And even more so with this game is that there was less development time and a smaller budget than the previous Scooby-Doo game that they worked on. So,
That's pretty impressive that they were able to squeeze it all on the DS.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's a fantastic beat 'em up, like Zach talked about last show. The only thing that kind of sucks is that if I were to say Wii or DS, I'd say go Wii. One, because you have the drop-in, drop-out co-op, and also to like change costumes and characters in this, you have to like go into the menu and then select it, and it's really clumsy and time-consuming. Other than that, game's awesome.
Yeah. Do you like the character designs?
Yeah, I mean it's the same character designs that were in Scooby-Doo First Frights, the one that came out last year. But that game seemed a little rough around the edges, and this one really seems to, like, you know, succeed in what it's doing. It's a lot more streamlined. It gets you right into the action. Yeah, I like it a lot.
Yeah, it's a good game.
And from here, we'll go on to news.
Yay!
And first up, we got I went to New York Comic Con last weekend, where there was some gaming stuffs. I'm just gonna kind of.
Did you see any Klingons?
Actually, no. I did see. I mean, as far as cosplay stuff, I saw people dressed up as Pikmin. I saw Midna, which was kind of weird.
All right.
There was a super, super awesome Captain Planet.
Planet.
And Stan Lee was
He's
there.
He's a hero.
I mean, he will take pollution down to zero, you know? I mean,
oh, Jesus.
But he does. But going on to the game-related content, Nintendo was there. Their booth was it was basically just E3 Part 2. They did an interesting tactic, which I've noticed at a couple different events, is that when a company wants you to play a game that they don't think that you'll play, they will force you to play it if you want to get a t-shirt. So Golden Sun Dark Dawn was packed for the entire weekend because they were giving away Golden Sun t-shirts.
People want a t-shirt?
Come on. I think people wanted to play it.
Nah, I don't know.
No.
Yeah. But, why would they want a shirt if they didn't care about the game?
Well, it's free shit.
They
People
were homeless?
Are crazy about free shit, man.
They might have been homeless, just to be clear. They might have been homeless.
And they That's paid true. To get into PAX.
They might have been fairly wealthy homeless people.
Oh.
Anyway.
I can't argue with that, Andy.
Yeah, well. It's my logic skills.
Nintendo also had Kirby's Epic Yarn, Donkey Kong Country Returns, Wii Party. They had GoldenEye at their booth. Activision also had GoldenEye in this kind of weird setup where like you would have to wait online. And then there were two couches that were meant for four people, but, you know, knowing the normal people that go to New York Comic Con, squeeze between two fat dudes on this couch, being like, shit, I could barely use the class controller as they fit four people on here. But then they had, like, games of GoldenEye set up there, and then, like, they had this weird, like almost like they're trying to recreate, like, hey, guys, you're in a frat house or something. Because they had, like, around the big TVs, they had, like, a desk, and then they had, like, random stuff. There was just, like, a glass. There was, like, a bowl with nothing in it. It
was
just
there
weird.
Beer?
No, there was no beer. Like,
well,
I think
good
maybe...
job recreating a frat house.
I know. But it's, like, I didn't understand it at all. But GoldenEye's fun. You know, it's GoldenEye. I have to say, the more I play that game, the more excited I'm getting for it, at least as far as playing it local with friends. I don't really know anything about the online or single player, because they haven't really showed anything about that.
How does the classic controller feel with that game?
It feels pretty good. My one complaint with the classic controller is that I don't really like the feel of the analog sticks.
Yeah, that's
so
my complaint. I
hate that.
They feel a little, not as, there's not as much tension as there is in the Xbox ones, and I don't like the gated, controllers.
Yep.
Because I feel that always messes me up when I'm trying to fine-tune something, and it slides down diagonally.
Yeah. I am a little weirded out that they're not showing any single player stuff.
Yeah, I remember I did a conference call for GoldenEye. I think around last episode or something.
Yeah.
But someone asked about single player, and they said that there's going to be another event before launch. So
like in the next 2 weeks or something.
San Francisco. Yeah, like that's the thing. It's like launch is in I think 2.5 weeks at this point. Like, when are you guys going to show up the single player? Like, let's go. Time is of the essence. Also, at New York Comic Con, they showed off Michael Jackson, The Experience.
Oh, my God.
The Ubisoft game. It had a really big presence there, because pretty much when you walked in the main entrance, there was a huge fucking stage with Michael Jackson, The Experience. And I didn't have the balls to go up on stage and try the game, but I did watch people play it, and it kind of just looks like Just Dance, just with Michael Jackson songs. But I have to say that the art style that they used for the game actually looks pretty good, because it's kind of like abstract Michael Jackson's dancing on screen, which I think kind of fits with, you know, making it look graphically pleasing on the Wii and making it, you know, an enjoyable game that runs smoothly. There was also a Capcom booth, which...
Wait, what kind of game is that? I'm sorry, my phone just rang. I had to go take care of it.
What, Michael Jackson the
Experience? Yeah, what kind of game is it?
Is it
just like
game.
A Kinect dancing game or something?
No, it's a Just Dance game, so that means you have the Wii Remote, and it's kind of broken, but people will enjoy it.
Oh. That's really weird. I was at the press conference when they announced it, and they were saying that like they wanted to make something magical that could never be done before or something. And
well, it's called Just Dance, Michael Jackson. I mean, maybe there's more to it,
okay.
But they sure as fuck were not showing it.
Okay. Yeah, see, the Just Dance name I don't think was attached to it at that time.
Well, no, it's not Just Dance, Michael Jackson, but that is
what it is. Yeah, okay. I got you.
It's going to be okay, Nate. Just Dance. Spin that record,
just
baby.
Just Dance. It'll be okay. And at the
I don't
Capcom
get that
booth,
reference.
You're better for it.
At the cool. Capcom booth.
Mega Man.
Yeah, they did have Mega Man Universe. Not that that's coming to a Nintendo system, but it's fucking Mega Man, so yes, I will talk about it. I don't really like the way it looks. I think it looks really ugly.
Yeah, I think it looks bad.
But I like the idea of it, where people can create levels, and I mean, that's definitely more appealing to me than anything like Little Big Planet, where I don't really like the controls of that, and that, you know, this game still feels like Mega Man, it just looks like shit.
You know, this game came out on the PSP about 5 years ago.
Yeah. But, what this is that, you know, you can build levels, it's gonna come with Mega Man 2, remade in this terrible art style. Oh. And then you can kind of create your character to how you want it to be. Like, some of the examples that they showed is that it's like Mega Man with, like, the body of, what is it,
a
Metal
cat?
Man? Is that the one from Mega Man 2?
Who?
And, like, so he moves really fast, and, like, his basic weapon is...
Oh.
No. No, I think it's Metal Man. Metal Man is apparently fast. That's what I was told.
Okay.
But they also have really cool stuff that they're not showing yet. Like, Arthur from Super Ghouls and Ghosts. He's playable in the game, so
yeah,
you will be able to combine his powers with Ryu. So I guess you could theoretically be throwing a spear with one hand while you know, like do the fucking spinning kick with Ryu.
It's retarded, yes. Though.
That sounds dumb.
And Ryu and Arthur have nothing to do with Mega Man at all.
I see why they're hesitant to make just Mega Man 11. But I don't think this
they
was
should,
necessary
they should
either.
Make Mega Man
well, you know,
up
your
too.
World megafod.
Yeah, yeah, just, you know, it looks like a bad riff on Mega Man Powered Up anyways. Just make it a good
okay,
game.
Okay, I see where you guys are coming from, but when you hear about you talk about that, all it really tells me is that I want an entire game where the main character is Arthur mixed with Ryu, and he chucks fireballs, and then
really
he gets hit. Then he gets hit and turns into bones, and then, like, Ken shows up and he's like mixed with Chun-Li or something. I don't know. I'm very excited about merging Capcom characters that have nothing to do with
yeah.
each other.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I mean, the basic Mega Man experience will be there and then people will be creating levels. And this is Mega Man Powered Up 2, and then there's more. That's why I think it's going to. I'm optimistic for it, even though I hate the graphical style.
I'm not excited for this.
Capcom also had some Virtual Console arcade stuff. So, Virtual Console Arcade lives. They plan on releasing in 2011 1942, XX's,
nice.
Sun Sun, Commando, Ghosts and Goblins, and
Woo!
Black Tiger.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, they're going to be supporting Virtual Console Arcade 2011. No specific window in 2011, just 2011. The last bit of New York Comic Con stuff is I got to interview Warren Spector, the head of Junction Point, who is the brain behind Epic Mickey, and I definitely, it seems like everyone's very critical about that game, but I'm still really excited for it, and I guess as I've seen more of the game, I get the feeling that there's a lot more underneath what they're showing, which is why I'm excited for it. I could be wrong in my excitement, but I think it's going to be pretty cool.
You know, the thing about that game, the only thing about that game that has me not super excited is that it doesn't seem like it knows what kind of a game it wants to be. Like, it looks like it's a whole bunch of different kinds of games.
How so?
Yeah, I've only seen two distinct kinds.
Well, you got the running around,
right.
Kind of the platformy part.
Yeah.
In 3D.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the platforming in the 2D.
Right.
And then isn't there some celestial brush paint thing?
Doesn't that take place inside of the 3D platforming?
Does it?
Yeah, that's just like the water cannon in Mario Sunshine, isn't it, basically?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. See, I thought it was a whole different thing.
No, no.
Well, that's good.
And I think the 2D things are only transitions, right, between levels?
There's like 40 of them, apparently, though. And they're really cool. I mean, they're kind of short, but there's some fun platforming to be had in the ones that I played with that.
Yeah. I am excited about it. I'm just not super excited about it.
Okay, so moving on in the news. Nspace had a scare. They're the developer of games like Geist. They did the demo, or the tech demo for Winter for Wii. They also develop a bunch of DS games, like the Call of Duty DS games. They're doing GoldenEye DS.
They did the Marvel Ultimate Alliance I reviewed about a year ago.
Yeah, those kind of sucked, so I wasn't going to mention them. But
yeah, well.
They're doing the Tron games for Wii and DS. I can't wait for the Tron game on Wii. It looks like a lot of fun.
Seriously.
But yeah, seriously.
Oh, no. I'm saying seriously. Yes, I agree.
Yeah, okay. Awesome.
It looks fun. Yeah.
There was rumor that they were shutting down at the end of last week. They laid off about 70 to 90 people, which is a good bulk of the staff at Nspace. There was a lot. It was all up in the air over the weekend, and then he's the president of Nspace, Dan O'Leary, posted a blog post about the state of Nspace, which is basically that they were supposed to be closing a few deals, but they all fell through. And in the past week, they were supposed to all be done that week, but they weren't. And so they had to lay off 70 to 90 people because they didn't have the funding to support them anymore. And hopefully when these deals get sorted out, they will be hiring all these people back within a week or two. So, crisis averted, kind of.
Good. Those guys are good.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of those guys as a developer, and I'm going to read part of the blog post that Dan O'Leary posted, just because I think it's really interesting as far as just the state of the industry in general. Life as an independent developer is often a painful hand-to-mouth exercise of love. This has never been more true than in the last few years. The games industry is, frankly, a mess. The economy has robbed customers of disposable income, reducing the number of titles that purchased per year. Huge budget titles have to sell massive numbers to return a profit, and the App Store has disrupted our industry in the same way iTunes changed consumer expectations for music. People that used to buy many games every year now buy a few AAA titles, supplementing their need with games that are free or cost less than a pack of gum. Anything in the middle is struggling. The Wii and DS markets have nearly collapsed, and 3DS is a brave new world the publishers are excited about, but also very cautious to enter. Even for an extremely successful Wii/DS developer like Nspace, with a long history of delivering quality titles on time and on budget, this creates a very challenging business environment. So,
amen, yeah. Brother.
I mean, it really just sucks as far as the dichotomy in the industry where the small guys can't really exist that well. I mean,
I don't necessarily agree with what he says, because he paints a picture that something has changed, but really, when was the time where you could just be anyone? And before the crash, I guess small amounts of people made games and it was really successful. But I mean, hasn't it always been that people buy like one game every so often? And now we do have more stuff to play in between, but
well, he says life as an independent developer is harder than it used to be. But really, what he really means by that is life as a mid-range developer is harder than it used to be. If you're the top dog, if you're Activision, if you're EA, you're more or less fine.
But
they're not like falling apart either. They have very successful franchises they can rely on to make money.
Yeah.
If you're an iPhone app developer, if you're a team of 5 or 10 people, maybe you're doing fine too, because you can publish on the App Store, you can publish on DSiWare or WiiWare.
Yeah.
But the smaller mid-range, it's like, you know, the quandary of the middle class. It applies to video games like it applies to most things. I've heard lots of other people say that now is the best time to be an independent developer because it's so easy to get your stuff out there because of things like the Xbox Live indie marketplace and the App Store and WiiWare and DSiWare and Android market and Flash games and whatnot. Like, I've heard the exact opposite from other people, but those are much smaller development teams that don't need as much money to operate.
Yeah. I don't know if people only buy one or two AAA titles a year. I mean, or
I do.
Well, I
don't know what his, I don't know what his time schedule is on that, but I probably buy. I don't want to say one a the month, average, but though, you know, Zach. Well, that's probably true.
Zach, I probably only buy 3 to 4 games new a year, and maybe 2 of those are full priced, and one of them is always NCAA football. Like my my game buying habits changed significantly when I, you know, bought a house and got married and had other things
to
pay
mine,
for.
Mine did like, too, I got it.
Like grad school and whatnot. Like I don't buy that many. I do a lot of game trading with people like yourself and sites like Guzex. I do a lot of used game buying on like Amazon or, God forbid, GameStop every once in a while. But for the most part, I don't buy a lot of $50-$60 games anymore. I can't afford
it. Yeah, you're right. I don't really either. I will often wait for a price drop though.
Yeah. I can think of maybe one game I paid $60 for in the past year, and that was NCAA football. I don't think I bought anything else for full price on 360 or PS3. And I think I basically bought Mario Galaxy 2 and I can't think of anything else on Wii that I bought full price. It's a hard sell. $50 is a lot of money.
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, and I guess what I'm saying is I think that's always been the case for working adults, right? You know, you start to buy less games when you're a kid when you can beg your parents or just blow all your money on that. So there's always that.
There's a phase between 20 and 30 when you start getting like your first post-college job or your first sweet summer gig when you're a college student. Well, like, for instance, my first console purchase was a PS3 that I bought. I had a really shitty but well-paying and janitorial work when I was in college. I just cleaned dorm rooms for a summer. And, you know, I hated it, but it bought me a PS2 back when they were still like $300. And, you know, back then I would hit up the PS2's greatest hits lineup damn near once a week because it was $20. It was an easy sell.
And what I'm ultimately getting at is, sure, we're, you know, the way you're buying games is changing, but there's still that subset of the population that's going to buy games like that. So his argument that I'm sure it's gotten worse just because of the economy, but I don't think the way people are buying games has changed.
The market hasn't necessarily changed.
Yeah.
I think the market has changed. I mean, I definitely think he's got a point with the whole the evolution of the App Store where a lot of, I guess maybe money that would have gone to, you know, stuff like Call of Duty on DS or Marvel.
Really, the $1 I spend on Angry Birds takes away from my purchase.
Once again, I'm not necessarily referring to just us because we are not the average. But saying average person that has maybe their iPod Touch replaced what they would do on DS. Stuff like that.
But I guess would that person be willing to spend that kind of money on a DS game anyways?
It depends.
Right. Well, let me tell you, for me, if I have a choice between, like, I just bought that Tomb Raider game, that downloadable Tomb Raider game.
Lara Croft, Guardian of Light.
And it's really good, by the way. But it cost $15, and that's $15 that I had been planning on buying, you know, let's say Kirby with, even though I've already put money away for Kirby. You know, that means I'm not buying Kirby right away. Because I bought Guardian Light for $15 because at the time I was like, this is only $15. Kirby's $50.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, so I think that's a good point, Zach.
Yeah, so I think the market is definitely moving towards downloadable content. The question is whether or not that downloadable content will be offered at a price that is very disruptive of the retail market, and I think it is already and will continue to be in the future.
But is that sustainable though? Is the question? Can you be a successful game developer if you're selling your games for $1 to $5?
No,
you can.
You can if you're a team of one.
If you have a really low overhead, then yes.
Oh, yeah. That way, yeah. But if you're talking like a fully fledged game, you know, something that's not just a fart app, maybe not.
Well, I mean, you call it a fart app, but, you know, most games are a buck. Yeah, they're pretty close to fart apps, and they are usually shitty with a very low overhead. But, you know, they are making a lot of money, which sucks. You know,
I find it sets
a really low standard.
One of the lines in that quote that really kind of stands out to me is when a prominent Wii DS developer says that the Wii and DS markets have nearly collapsed. And I know we've seen that in sales.
Well, you can look at No Place Clearer Than TGS, where we had Matt Walker and James Charlton were over there. And I think it was something where, like, there were barely any Wii games there.
That's right.
There were a few DS games. And I think Matt Walker was talking to people that he knew, you know, around TGS that are in the games industry. And they're all saying that, you know, if you're not a Nintendo-made game on Wii, you don't sell.
Right.
So there's no point in putting your resources into that, which it sucks. And I hope that the 3DS kind of, I guess, brings back, you know, other games other than
bring back the spark
successful. And I mean, that might work for companies like Capcom that seem to be really supporting the 3DS, but is that really going to work for everyone? And the answer is probably not. I mean, it just sucks.
I find it interesting that while that kind of thing is being said and largely agreed with, like at least among us, Iwata can go out on stage and show lots and lots of bar graphs that show that Wii and DS, well, specifically Wii software, is selling better than competitive third-party software.
Yeah, because it's all the Nintendo games sell so well.
Yeah, but I'm talking about third-party software. I'm talking about... He comes out and shows bar graphs saying that we have a better attach rate than third-party software, but then we have this guy saying the market's collapsed. So either Iwata has very, very misleading data, or one game sold a ton. You know what I'm saying? Or like,
I think it's probably misleading data.
Probably, yeah. Anyway, we should move on from this.
Something is skewing those bar graphs. Like Monster Hunter.
Like
everybody in Japan bought Monster Hunter 3. So
yeah, that's sold over a million.
That's going to pull the bar up a little bit for third parties.
This is true.
All right, let's end that subject and move on to the last news story. Sega is removing certain Sonic games from retail because of low review scores. It's being done to increase the value of the brand. It was listed that, or in the interview that this is from. Sonic Rush DS and Sonic Rush Adventure are given as two examples of games that will be delisted. And Carla Young, our European correspondent, looked up on Metacritic and saw that Sonic Riders Zero Gravity and Sonic and the Black Knight are also probably on the getting axed list. The funny thing about this, though, is that Sonic Rush has an 82 rating on Metacritic and Sonic Rush Adventure has a 78. What the fuck?
You want to hear my theory? They're coming out with new Sonic games forthcoming, right? Don't they want to get these things off shelves
Sonic
anyway?
Colors and Sonic 4,
well, that's what they said. They want to keep the brand fresh.
Well, yeah. Isn't this normal? Don't you stop making games after a while? And are they maybe just saying, oh, look, we care about quality and putting a spin on just something that's completely normal?
Yeah, that's an
normal.
Interesting point, Nate. Are they continuing to print copies of these shitty games?
Yeah, when did Activision come out and say, you know what, we're not printing Call of Duty 3 anymore, sorry, we only care about quality here.
I know, every single time I go into Bed Bath & Beyond, I see a clearance rack of Sonic and the Dark Knight or whatever for like
$5.
They're making them somewhere.
Too expensive.
So they probably had to discontinue it anyway sometime.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they felt the need to put a spin on it.
Like, if you walk into a Best Buy and you go to the DS section, if it's not made by Nintendo, you're not likely to see a game that was developed 6 to 9 months ago.
Yeah,
well,
right.
actually, I can kind of refute that because I think I've still seen Sonic Rush there.
Well, I have two. But those are copies they're not selling.
Yeah.
I still think it's an exception.
I doubt it's because they run out every week and they keep getting it restocked.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think they're running out every week, but I think those games do sell.
Then why are they getting rid of them?
Sonic Rush is pretty good. I like Sonic Rush.
Yeah.
Then I guess they're getting rid of them just to, to promote the new stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's just so weird because Sonic 4 is a downloadable game. And the only retail game that's coming out.
Well, they've got Colors coming out.
Sonic Colors is coming out in retail, but you know,
Sonic Colors is
not
only being DS though. It's not
they have Sonic the Hedgehog 360 Game of the Year edition coming out too.
Oh yeah, because everyone
really?
Loved that.
God.
Ooh.
Sonic as a brand has really collapsed.
Yeah,
they're trying to bring it back.
Well, Sonic 4 is crap.
I was gonna mention that later when we talked about the downloads, but
yeah, sure.
Yeah, we'll how about we get on the path to getting there? Let's talk about the new releases.
Okay.
We'll go through the retail ones first.
There's kicking
off our a pair of NBA games, NBA Jam for Wii, which we talked about earlier, and NBA 2K11, which is the 2K game. I believe this is the third year it's been on Wii platforms.
This is the Jordan game.
I don't know how faithful of a port it is to the 360 PS3 version, but I don't really know, nor do I care. So sorry, everybody. We also got Wii Party from Nintendo. That's for $50. There's also some things where it comes with a Wii Remote, but I think that's like $70 or something. So I guess if you really need a Wii Remote, you can go buy Wii Party. Sounds like a deal, maybe. On DS, we have Final Fantasy, the Four Heroes of Light, which is the new Final Fantasy RPG that seems deliciously old school. And the more I hear about this,
it's the hat swapping game.
Yeah, four hats. You have different hats that give you classes. The battle system actually seems kind of interesting. It's stuff with, like, you get, like, an ability point every turn, and if you save those up, you can use more powerful magic spells. And I was actually there's a forum, I think this was actually in the latest episode of RFN, that there was someone explained the battle system, and it actually seemed kind of interesting. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
This
That would have been James.
It was someone else. I'm hoping to fit this in between Etrinasi and Golden Sun. We will see.
This will be your stopgap RPG.
I don't feel like getting this game until I feel like I'm done with Dragon Quest IX, so that means I may never get this game.
I don't think I've not had an RPG in my DS that was relatively new for quite some time. It is dangerous.
Oh, hey, you know what? I got to mention real quick. On the 15th, starting on the 15th, going through the 30th, for anyone who's still playing Heart Gold and Soul Silver, you can get a mystery gift from Nintendo of Mew.
Yes. Some mystery.
Well, you select mystery gift and it...
I'm going to probably get that.
Me too. Definitely. I'll turn on the system.
That could open up a whole new fucking can of worms. Like, god damn it.
I think my Pokewalker has died.
Yeah, I got back into Dragon Quest IX because I used tag mode during New York Comic Con, and I got like 10 tags.
Oh,
so
you
now
bastard.
I need to like play more of the game and go through some treasure maps. Like, it's addicting. I love that game, and I hate it at the same time. But speaking of Pokemon...
I stopped playing.
Yeah, I didn't get into the side stuff.
Yeah. Well, I basically played it to high hell when I reviewed it, and then I kind of put it down for like 3 or 4 months, and now I'm starting to get back into it. So.
Nice.
But speaking of Pokemon, Pokemon Ranger Guardian Signs came out on DS the other week.
Yay.
Has anyone ever played a Pokemon Ranger game?
Yeah, I did.
Are they any good?
I don't remember anything about it.
All right.
So no.
Cool.
So no.
Super Scribblenauts on DS. Zach is should be going out in the mail tomorrow, Zach. So
oh, sweet.
Super Scribblenauts soon.
I will report on many, many different word combinations and see what...
Yeah, it's supposed to be better. It adds adjectives. You can use
D-pad support,
control.
Right?
I mean, from everything that I've heard about this game is it's better than the first one, but it's the same basic concept.
So it's what the first game should have been. It's like the Wii Fit Plus of Scribblenauts.
Exactly.
It's a patch.
Except for its full price.
There you go. It's a retail patch.
Although I have read reviews that indicate that some stuff has gotten messed up in the translation. Specifically level and puzzle design. Apparently, it is a lot more narrow and avoids the sort of instead
breaking
of
the game.
Yeah, it doesn't let you break it basically.
Well, that's good.
I
ultimately,
mean,
it, is
I,
it
I really,
when it restricts
I love the
your
idea of
creativity?
Scribblenauts, but I don't care about it anymore at all.
I didn't enjoy it when I first played it. I really haven't been looking forward to Scribblenauts 2 at all.
You know, it's so weird too because after E3, everyone was like, "Holy shit, Scribblenauts!" And then it came out, and everyone was like, ah.
See, and I kind of categorized it in the same place that I categorize zombie games, in that it's something that everyone's like, oh, man, look, I can summon Cthulhu. Cthulhu's cool, right? Right? A zombie. God. Dracula. I don't care. The game did not look fun. And it turns out it really wasn't. So.
Yeah.
It looked fun to me. I had some fun with it for a couple days, and I was like, all right, I'm done.
I look forward to getting the review copy.
It sounded fun. It certainly sounds fun on paper.
And Moving on, Sengoku Basara, Samurai Heroes, from Capcom. It's on Wii. It's a Samurai Warriors clone of some sort. Samurai Warriors 3, as we all know, came out 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So Sengoku Basara is supposedly better than Samurai Warriors from some reviews.
Whoa.
I mean, it's a fucking beat-em-up. What else do you expect, guys? If you like this, you already have this game. I think there's guns in this one, too.
Oh, interesting. I'd rather play Pokemon Rumble.
Yeah, I'm not interested in that at all. But moving on. Just Dance 2 is coming out on Wii. Who's ready to dance, guys? I'm not. FIFA 11, which I think we reported is coming out, apparently got delayed a week for Wii and DS. So that is out on Wii and DS now. Def Jam Rap Star for Wii. That's going out to John Lindemann.
No.
He should be settling into Boston now, so that's cool. And I expect to see videos of John rapping his heart out. I doubt he's going to listen to this, but I hope he raps his heart out. And there are videos online. Because I believe there's a feature in the game, I don't even know if it's in the Wii version or not, where you can record like 30-second... Well, actually...
A video, you can record video.
It's probably not in the Wii version at all, because I don't think there's a camera with the Wii, unless you count the Ubisoft one, which is a piece of shit. But, yeah, Def Jam Rap Star on Wii, it allows you to rap, and that's cool. But they're all radio edits, so that kind of sucks.
And it's also, I guess it's like SingStar. I mean, it's not too special.
Yeah.
It's like SingStar with rap, but... From what I've read, the game does a very good job of figuring out whether you're actually singing the lyrics or not.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really a big rap fan, but I would like to try this out at some point in my life, but I don't want to spend money for it.
I'm still holding out for SingStar Death Metal, or something that will never... Yeah, exactly, Neil.
You still haven't done that Lords of Thunder in the death metal voice.
I recorded it. Nice. But it sounded horrible. It kept peaking. I actually got a new mic, so yeah, it will come.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Ben 10 Ultimate Alien Cosmic Destruction. I believe this is it's for Wii and DS. It's by D3 Publisher. I believe this is like the new series of Ben 10 or something. I know Zach, you reviewed the Wii version of the Ben 10 game last year. Was that
Vilgax Attacks?
Was it any good?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Well, you're getting one of these in the mail. I will be sending it out tomorrow. So.
Jeez, I got a lot of shit coming to me.
Yeah.
What is Ben 10?
Ben 10 is a kid who
has a watch.
Is he like a TV show?
Yes, yeah. Cartoon Network TV show.
That's what I meant by what is he. Okay.
And his uncle, sir, is voiced by Colonel Campbell from Metal Gear.
Huh.
I mean, I remember I played one of the Ben 10 games, I think it's some press event, like a year or two ago, and it seemed like it was kind of fun, but nothing really to write home about. It reminded me of a Cameo Elements of Power.
That's what it is. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
It's
a serviceable platformer.
Yeah. So cool. Haunted House on Wii, which is apparently a remake of an old Atari game, published by Atari. I don't know anything else about it. Has anyone ever played Haunted House?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
All right.
Wonder what it's about.
I think it's about a haunted house. Just throw it a wild one out there.
What level of involvement does Eddie Murphy have?
Oh, God. I hope none.
Well, we'll see.
We got a pair of games from Ubisoft that will make the game show fans and us all happy. Hollywood Squares for Wii and DS. And Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Third edition for Wii and DS.
Does one of you get to be Regis Philbin?
No, because he's probably not in the game at all.
Dang.
Does one of you get to be a off-the-street
Who hosts that now,
Indian
like Rachel
boy?
Ray or something?
It's Meredith Vieira, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, Meredith Vieira.
Huh.
And the final retail game, well, there's many more, but I had to cut the list somewhere. A lot of them seemed pet-related.
Why did you leave this in?
Oops! Prank Party. Because I played a demo for Oops! Prank Party. It was kind of fun. I mean, like, the kind of dumb, like, let's put it this way. If we're going to mention Wii Party, we should mention this game. Because what I've heard about Wii Party is that Oops! Prank Party seems to be, like, the $20 version of that.
So this is like a mini-game collection where you're leaving fake spiders in someone's bedroom or pulling their pants down in
Not
front of
really.
People?
It's more like, it's actually the
That's
prank
That's real life for me.
Because the prank thing is, like, you'll go into the mini-game and it'll be like, whoever loses will be put in this chicken costume.
Wow.
And then, like, oh, no. Whoever loses, then, like say, like, if one person wins and then three people are the losers, then, the three people that lost will just be running around screen. Like, you just shake your Wii remote to run. And, like, the winner will just get to, like, try to pick one of them up and just throw them down and then be like, bitch, put on the chicken costume.
So, you know what? I would actually be interested in this if it were sort of like a Sim-style game where you devise the most elaborate, embarrassing Japanese-style pranks, like the crazy shit the Japanese pull, and you just see how much you can embarrass someone. Leaderboards, recordings. I would do it. But it's obviously not that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's $20, so it's kind of neat. Let's move on.
You need to do that voice more, Neil. That was a hell of a voice.
What one?
What voice?
The kind of Grover voice you were doing. I don't know what that was.
I can't even replicate it. I don't know what I was doing.
Press rewind when this comes up.
Yeah. but let's move on to WiiWare, DSiWare, and Virtual Console. On WiiWare, we got Sonic the Hedgehog 4 Episode 1 from Sega for 1,500 points. I don't know about you guys, but I played the Xbox 360 the demo for it, and I fucking hated it.
Yeah. Really? Go play Sonic Colors.
Didn't Pedro give us a pretty favorable review?
Yeah, Pedro actually enjoyed it a lot. I was talking to him about it, and that's when I was like, all right, I'll play the Xbox Live Arcade demo, and if I like that, then maybe I'll get it. Play the Xbox Live Arcade demo. I despise this game. Like,
Xbox version have the lock-on?
Yes, all of them have the lock-on.
I hate that.
Am I crazy, or did they, like, completely fail to lock down the feel of the 16-bit games at all?
Oh my god, it feels like shit!
Sonic moving just feels horrible, even just, like, when you're starting to move.
Yeah.
It looks bad, and it feels weird.
It's slower than it should be.
The graphics.
Yeah.
I don't know. The graphics don't look... I mean, just nothing about this game felt right to me. It felt like a poor imitation of the 16-bit game.
And really, what the hell is a lock-on? You know, like, it lets you just zip through crap without even thinking. Not like, you know, that's not what Sonic was about before, but...
Like, dude, I'll stand by. I love Sonic the Hedgehog 2. It's one of my favorite games, but...
I liked playing it co-op, yeah. I generally tend to not like Sonic games. I did like the GBA ones, but...
Yeah, like, I think
those
games are good.
You gotta get the controls gotta be right.
They can be good games.
Not even the controls. Not the controls aren't the problem. It's just the way the character moves. His, like, body animations and the way...
Yeah.
Character's speed is just not right.
Just when he is starting to move, it looks so freaking weird. Like he's like running through
water.
Like water or something slippery, and he's just not. And it always does kind of look weird in Sonic games when you're starting to move. But this just really stood out. I don't know if it was a detail or what.
His character sprite doesn't look very good either.
No.
So this is definitive proof. Then every time someone tells Sega, man, just make another 2D Sonic game. That's all we want is another 2D Sonic game. We can refute them and say, no,
they
just don't make a shitty one. I don't care what kind of Sonic game you make. Just whatever kind of Sonic game you decide on, don't make it shitty. That's the solution for them.
Remake Sonic Adventure.
Well, I enjoyed Sonic Colors. I don't know who played the DS demo.
Oh, I love the DS demo for that. I even enjoyed the Wii version of it, too.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to play that one.
I went and downloaded Sonic Adventure, the trial, on Xbox Marketplace when it hit Xbox, I don't know, about 2-3 weeks ago.
Oh, I didn't know it was on XBLA.
Yeah, maybe it's on PSN, too. I'm not sure.
Nah,
but
it's only on XBLA.
No.
I tell you, man, I don't think that game holds up at all.
Oh, it doesn't.
That's too bad.
Yeah, and I loved it, too, back in 2000, 2001, when it came out, or 99.
Dreamcast!
I mean, the Dreamcast is a great system, but Sonic Adventure, man, that really does not hold up. I don't think there's been a genuinely good Sonic game. At least console Sonic game since Sonic the Hedgehog 3 or maybe Sonic and Knuckles, depending on if you like that one or not.
Yeah.
Apparently, Sonic 3D Blast!
I think
Sonic
3D the best
Blast was better
kid.
Than most of the actual 3D Sonic games. Even Sonic 3D Blast sucks. But...
See, I've thought about this for a while, like how they could make a good Sonic game, and I think if they made something more like a Burnout Paradise kind of deal, it could be interesting. Where you're just, like, thrashing stuff as you, like, zip around. You're not having to worry too much about running into things, because if you do, you just blow them up.
Well, I think they kind of went the Mega Man powered up route for this new game. When they really should have gone the Castlevania the Adventure Rebirth route. You know what I mean? Like, go sprites. Yeah. Do it in sprites. You're good. Well, you used to be good at sprites. Get that right again first, and then move on to polygons. Because I tell you guys,
it just feels like the same game.
That too. Like, the level design feels very, very uninspired. It just feels like the old ones all over again. And they've made so many 2D Sonic games.
On nostalgia.
They've made so many 2D Sonic games that none of the levels feel original anymore.
No, and so much of 2D Sonic relies on you being able to preemptively understand what's coming in the level. Because you'll just hit a wall, and in this game, it's really bad. It just completely slows you down.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you could recover more quickly in the other ones, but it's I don't like how that is designed. If I can just hit a dead wall.
Let's have a little impromptu survey here. Will there be a Sonic the Hedgehog 4 episode 2?
Yes.
Yes.
Think so?
I'm sure it's already made. Sell well.
Andy, have they stopped making Sonic games?
No.
Well, don't you,
don't you kind of think
that the reason it was split up into episodes was to gauge the reaction of the first one? I mean, that's what I always assumed.
Although, you know what? This one might not do as well because it's downloadable. And so it's less likely to be grabbed by that kid that bought Mario and Sonic at the Olympics that saw, ooh, Sonic's cool, let me get it. And
But Sonic has this batshit crazy dedicated fan base.
That was two sentences at once.
It was. You were hearing in stereo.
Yeah.
I was saying that Sonic has a crazy dedicated fan base that'll buy any shit that Sonic puts out, including this.
That's true.
I'm sure, but is that enough to support it?
Well, yes. I think also
I think they rely more on the on-site purchase.
I know a guy who was hardcore Sonic Dreamcast day one owner, played it with a VGA out connection on his 19-inch gorgeous monitor. Bought a Genesis on eBay when he was in college, got Sonic 1, 2, and 3, played through all those again. Like, this is a guy who loved – he bought an Xbox because Sega gave it the most support of all the previous gen consoles. Like, this is a guy who worships Sega, and even he hasn't bought a Sonic game in the last 5 years.
Damn.
I still know some loyal Sonic devotees, so they're out there.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they number as much as the people that buy it on site just based off of, you know,
right.
It looks cool. Well, that's what Sonic was meant to be.
Now, one thing this game does have going for it, if I'm not mistaken, and I only played it for like 5 minutes, so I might be wrong about this, but Sonic doesn't talk in this game. And that's a step in the right direction.
None of his shitty friends are around, right?
Yeah.
What? I like Tails.
That's a step in the right direction. Sonic talking
like Tails and Knuckles
are good. Ever.
Yeah, yeah.
Sonic, Tails, and Knuckles are all fine.
No.
No.
No. Amy, Rose, or
lady?
Yeah, love interest. No, thank you.
No human on Sonic kissing. That
also,
fucked, man.
Actually, they added that to Mass Effect 3. it's coming.
This game referred to him as Eggman or Robotnik. If they call him Robotnik, that's a plus as well.
I think this game has Eggman. Right? It used to be Robotnik, and they changed it to Eggman.
They haven't referred to him as Robotnik in a long time.
Stupid decision.
Yeah, I think it's Eggman. I don't remember.
You know, the Sonic games need to go in two directions. One, they need to give the license to Fuse Games, and they need to make a pinball game out of them.
Word.
And second, they need to just say the hell with it and make a Sonic party with all of his shitty friends.
I think that exists somewhere, right?
Yeah, but it was really shitty.
You know, I wonder what what Way Forward could do with a Sonic game.
Oh, my God.
Holy crap.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Neil just came.
Just imagine the sprite work in that.
Yeah.
Have we ever seen Nintendo develop a third party franchise game? Like, we've seen Namco take on Star Fox, and we've seen, you know, Capcom took over Zelda for a while. Have we ever seen it the other way around?
Who made those Olympics games?
Sega.
That was Sega, right? Okay.
Sega did.
Sega.
The only thing they've ever done is they put Sonic into Smash Brothers. That was about it.
Yeah.
And Snake, yeah.
And Sonic controls better in Smash Brothers than he does in Sonic the Hedgehog 4.
This is very
I think Nintendo had a pretty big hand in Twin Snakes.
Right, but
I
think
they?
It's more
I mean,
of a...
I mean, it was
a,
developed by Silicon Knights.
Yeah, more of a guidance role.
Yeah.
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 Eh, whatever.
But let's move on. Burn through these next three Weebur games. Triple Jumping Sports from the Code Monkeys Limited for 500 points. This, unlike the other triple whatever sports, actually features every game, so the triple makes
sense.
Yeah,
I have more respect for this, right?
Yeah, it's got long jump, high jump, and pole vault.
Yeah.
There is one problem with this game, and that's that it looks like a DS game. It looks awful. This is like the worst looking WiiWare game I think I've ever seen.
Well, I bet you I...
You haven't played Space Trek.
Manic Monkey Mayhem.
That's true.
Mm.
Oh, God.
Mm.
If only.
Next up, we got...
No, like, I literally thought
Do we have anything
constructive
to say?
Like, confirm.
Right.
Okay.
Racers Islands Crazy Racers from Zalag for 1,000 points. It's a racing game with 6 drivers from different countries. I think there's just a lot of stereotypes in this game. If you're easily offended...
Homie Rollers on DSiWare.
It's more than just, you know, Latinos.
Oh, WiiWare. Sorry, it's WiiWare.
Yeah,
not just pimps and hoes.
Well, there's 6 drivers from different countries, so 6 countries are likely to be offended.
Well, Punch-Out.
Hey, except for Punch-Out's good, so that's the difference. Moving on.
There you go.
Learning with the Pooyus, Episode 3 from LexisNumerique. For 500 points, it's the 3rd episode in a series of kids' games that has no reading ability required because it'll talk to you in multiple languages. Yep.
It's an early childhood game.
Yeah, that means we can't laugh at it.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool. Glad to see kids get games. Moving on to DSiWare.
Hello.
Hello. Shantae Risky's Revenge from Way Forward for 1,200 points.
You know what, let's not talk about it.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about this at all. We got Game Club coming up after this, so if you want to hear us talk about Shantae Risky's Revenge, and we'll probably just be splooging all over
I was hoping that you were going to pretend that we weren't going to talk about it, period. But, oh well.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Fuck that game.
Then there's Rummy Cube from Games Factory Online for 800 points. It's a traditional tile game.
Oh.
It has support for 4 players, but everyone needs to have the game, so that's never going
to
happen.
Well, I usually like
Rummy
to
Cube,
go
Rummy
to...
Cube's kind of fun, but I'm not paying $8 for it on my DSi.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
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 Next up is something that's mildly interesting, although I wish it was the WiiWare version of it. Ivy the Kiwi... Mini from XSEED for 500 points. It's the proposed, like the 50 level version of Ivy the Kiwi.
Andy was right. Andy, you predicted this might come to a downloadable platform.
Well, I mean,
when we talked about it before.
Yeah. And,
well, I think it was announced in other territories, but it hadn't quite been announced here.
There's a WiiWare version that I imagine is forthcoming, or at least I hope it is, because then I'll probably get that, because I didn't like the DS controls when I played the demo that was on the Nintendo channel.
I also don't like the idea of these little stopgap games that are part of the main experience and not something different. So I don't mind like a Dead Rising Case Zero.
Almost
like
a demo,
yeah. I don't mind Dead Rising Case Zero because it's $5 of something that you're not going to have to replay and it's unique. But like...
Yeah.
What's the retail price on Ivy the Kiwi for DS?
$20.
Is it a $30 game? Okay. Because you're getting half the game for a quarter of the price.
I guess.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
if you enjoy it.
I don't think I care to get 100 levels of Ivy the Kiwi. I'd rather just get 50.
Yep. Right on.
The next game is Datamine from Enjoy Gaming Limited. It's 500 points, and it's like the game Buster Brothers, if anyone's ever played it.
Yes.
You control a robot who has to clean up computer data, which is in bubble form for some reason, and you like shoot lines at it. I've never actually played a Buster Brothers game. I take it, Zach, you have.
You shoot a line up, and a big bubble bursts into 2 smaller bubbles, and they burst into 2 smaller bubbles, and eventually you're dead because there's a million bubbles bouncing around the stage, but it's very fun. Swear to God.
That's $5, so if you're into that, it might be worth it. And the last DSiWare game of the day is GG Series Superhero Ogre from Genterprise for 200 points. It's a side-scrolling beat-em-up where you're a superhero ogre. Actually, it doesn't look that bad.
I remember that we had high hopes for the last GG Series game that came out, that ninja one.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone remembers it. That side-scrolling.
I never played it.
Yeah. Well, neither did I. But, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe.
Cool.
Maybe we'll have to try one of these days.
Maybe.
And the last title of the week is for Virtual Console. It's Fatal Fury 3 Road to the Final Victory. It was originally on the Neo Geo back in 1995, and it's 900 points. It's a fighting game. It It's the fourth in the series. You can jump between like the foreground and the background.
Dear Neo Geo, cut to the chase and release King of Fighters like 99. Seriously.
Yeah.
I'm tired of all this bullshit in between nonsense. Stop releasing games from like 93 and start releasing games from like 98, 99. Because those are the fighters that everyone loves. King of Fighters 98, I played a ton of that.
Well, you know, Andy, you can buy that on the King of Fighters collection, like War of the Rose or something. I forget what the fuck the subtitle is, but it has like 8 King of Fighters games on it. I have it.
Well, for starters,
they're all exactly the same.
Starters, I ain't got no time to put no retail disc in no Wii. secondly, I don't want 8 King of Fighters games. I want one. I want the best one. Stop fucking around.
What are they? They're up to like 95 Street Fighter or 96 or something. With King of Fighters.
Yeah, I think it started in 94.
Yeah.
I think that one's already out.
Yeah, 94.
Out. And then they did 95, and then they did 96, and then they did 97, and then they did 98. And I played that one a lot. And then they did 99. I think that.
Well,
one
no,
was
I mean like on
I
Virtual
heard.
Console. I think 94 and 95 and maybe 96.
Yeah, I think
are
a few
there.
Of them are on Virtual Console. Yeah,
95 is out, and I've been tempted to pick it up, but I know eventually they're probably going to put out 96 or 97.
Well, it's like
or
I had a friend of mine who got the first Street Fighter 2 game that that came out on Virtual
God.
Console, and then like fucking 3 more that are way the fuck better came out.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Man.
Like within weeks.
Yeah.
Well, it's like all the Fatal Fury and Art of Fighting games is the precursor to King of Fighters. I don't want those
yes.
games.
I like King of Fighters for the excellent sprite work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's
sure
why like people like Neo Geo games, to be honest. You like it for the boobs.
Okay, I was going to ask. Yeah.
Right, yes, that's
King
what
of Fighters
98 yes.
is a good fighter. Like, there's a reason they made Capcom versus SNK, because those later SNK fighting games were really good,
yeah.
and a lot of people really
I've
liked
always
them.
Wanted to play that.
I had Capcom versus SNK 2, I think, for Dreamcast. It was, like, probably the last thing I ever
I
had.
I didn't even
Dreamcast
know they had 2 of them. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. I think, yeah, maybe just 2.
There might be, like,
a good
like
game, I mean.
You know, Alpha 5, 6.
I think they even made, didn't they make Capcom versus SNK and SNK versus Capcom, like each of them developed
I
one.
I think so.
I think they did.
I don't know. My history
yeah, like,
that
yeah,
story.
Yeah.
Capcom
I think those
one,
games
and
tend
and
to have two versions.
I know they're doing that for Tekken versus Street Fighter coming up.
Yeah, I think they did the same thing with SNK mm-hmm. and Capcom because the games do play somewhat.
Yeah, they tend
like
to play more like the
but
one that corresponds to whoever's developing it, like their normal franchise.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. There's even a character in the Street Fighter series, Dan, that's a parody
right.
of the characters from SNK.
Yep. He's the guy in the pink
yep.
robe, right?
Yep, mm-hmm. yep, yep, yep. Good times.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, that just about does it for episode 28 of the NWR Newscast. We've been together about a year, Zach and Andy. More than a year.
Yep. Aw. I'm all sentimental up in here, and I'm going to cry, and I can't cry because I have a cold.
That's cute.
Yeah, I think we did
I
want to say we did our first show on, like, let's see if I can pull up a calendar, but I think it was October 2009. I want to say it was, like, the 14th, published on the 16th, maybe?
Yeah, something like that.
So, yeah. We've been
That's
doing
terrifying.
We've been doing bi-weekly. We had our one-year anniversary a couple months ago, but that was, like, the actual anniversary of the
yeah.
show, which then promptly took like a 3-month break.
Hey.
But we've been doing it bi-weekly now for right around a year. Yes, you did. You and Nick and
yeah.
Luke.
And then Zach was on the last episode with me and Nick.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even remember that.
It's a long
oh,
time
man.
Ago.
And then I was born.
Yeah. After that episode, Zach and I got pretty drunk.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Oh, man.
Jersey to Alaska.
And then it became like Junior, you see.
Yeah.
And Andy was I forget the actor's name. We can cut this, right?
don't
oh,
forget.
Yeah.
Short guy. The really short guy.
Don't worry about a thing, Zach.
That guy,
on my
yeah.
first episode, I got really drunk. During it. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, no. I
remember
was there,
that, yeah.
sir.
No, no, no.
I just remember you being like, yeah, I finished a 6-pack. I was like, oh, shit, that explains happy birthday,
I had
Mark.
Finished like 8 by at that point because I was on two podcasts that day, and it was both of them the first time I was podcasting.
How long have you been doing this?
What, like
Nathan?
Five?
What, like
six, of... maybe? Maybe?
Since...
No.
Pretty much, like, right after you joined staff.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's been at
Happy
least,
birthday,
like,
Mart.
Seven
Happy
or
birthday,
eight.
Mart. Will be your anniversary.
Yeah. Yeah, whenever the anniversary of Happy Birthday, Mart is.
We'll have to celebrate every year.
Sure.
We should game club that shit.
I'll play Happy Birthday, Mart again on that day and get just fantastically drunk.
Thank God.
We should all get drunk one time
and play Happy Birthday,
this.
Mart.
Yeah.
Or just before.
They're on air.
Yeah, sure.
Well, that's how I, because we have that review copy of Kids Bop Dance Party.
Yeah.
That's, I was hanging out with my friends,
oh,
we were getting drunk, and it was just like kind of like, so guys, I kind of have to play this game because no one else is biting on it. Let's play some Kids Bop. So, got really drunk and played Kids Bop. It's basically just dance, but with kids songs.
I hate Kids
Bop. It's not even kids songs, it's the kids' rendition of songs. And they have shit like Disturbia, Thriller, Paparazzi.
That's every child's favorite song.
Oh my God.
What else do they have? I forget.
That's true. What 10-year-old isn't going around singing Paparazzi in school?
No, I'm your biggest fan.
Actually,
you guys
that might
Thriller?
Be true.
Yeah.
They don't know, yeah, if you were born after 1995, you don't know what Thriller is. Dude, you know what's scary? I go to work now, and I enter some of the new hires at my job into our computer system, and it really freaks me out when I see people who are younger than me. Like, born in 1985, I'm like, shit,
dude,
I am old.
I was 89.
88.
Oh,
89.
Jesus Christ.
You guys. You know, all you guys start with the word, with 80-something? Yeah, not so much. I was born in 79, FYI.
Wow, you're 10
so
years older than me. That's a decade.
Wait. What,
do you know what happened in a whole decade? What?
What month?
January.
Me?
January? Okay, so not quite a decade, because I'm December, so it's basically like 9 years in a month.
Still, man, crap. You know how many presidential terms that is?
You know how many, like, complete runs of, like, sweet-ass television shows? It's like three complete runs of Arrested Development, man.
Oh, don't tease me, man.
When,
oh.
Dude, when, the movie.
When VH1
no,
was running
it's not
the
coming.
I Love the 80s, Andy was all like, I was there.
Oh.
The difference between me and everyone else on staff is that you all joined this shit while you were in college, and I waited until, like, 7 years after.
Hey, man, I was out of college when I joined this shit.
What, like
you
a
really?
Year?
How old are you, Zach?
I am 28 next month.
All right, me and you, me, Zach, we're almost the same. I think Lindy's
the same age as my wife, sir.
Lindy's the only Lindy's the only person on staff that's older than me. I think.
He's
wow. Pale?
Old.
Maybe Pale.
I think Pale. I think might be 30. So.
Yeah, I'm 30. I'll be 31 in about a couple months.
You're like a year older than my brother, Andy, almost to the day, because my brother's December 80.
Yeah. Good times.
Speaking of Pale, maybe I'll get Band Hero in the mail one of these days.
Hmm.
Are you getting that giant ass box?
Supposedly.
Shipping it up via Caribou.
Yeah, all I think that's actually what they do.
All right.
I am going to.
Yeah, let's wrap this up.
Get
so
off
Andy
this call so I can get some more water.
Take his break.
Okay. Bye, Andy.
Enjoy.
So,
oh, that's
right.
We actually have to end the show, huh?
We will talk to you in 2 weeks. Subscribe to us on iTunes. You can email us at newscast@nintendoworldreport.com. Stay after the credits to hear the game club on Shantae Risky's Revenge. I keep on wanting to say Shantae's Risky's Revenge.
Yeah, I can tell. Yeah.
I want to put out a challenge to our listeners. If we can get up to 20 followers on Twitter, I will update our Twitter.
Ooh.
All right.
Can we do it?
And what is our Twitter?
Can we do it?
An enticing proposal.
Twitter.com/NWRNewscast.
All right.
You can tell, because I think the most recent update is editing episode 24 or something
oh,
like
crap,
that.
Oh, crap, Andy.
If we get a million followers, I'll name my baby Megatron.
Andy, fantastic. Give me the password, and I will just Twitter about Minecraft all day.
Fantastic.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't know what the password is, but I will look it up. I think it's tied to Zach's email, because mine was taken.
Oh.
I think it's a
blah.
Reference. I think the
password you're right.
Is like blah, blah.
But why are
That's
we
totally
saying
not.
This?
I think the password is
yeah. I think that's the end of the show, or sometime before Zach said that. Actually, yep. Andy, when you edit that, just put the vomit grunt noise over it.
All right.
Before Andy dies.
See everybody next time.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Next
2 seconds. On doodah, doodah. Somebody's call dropped all the doodah day. I am lost now. Drew's online call ended. Holy shit. Oh, I have to stop recording, but I won't. The wonders of technology.
Hi, and welcome to Game Club. It's been a while since we did one of these, and it's a special occasion, because on DSiWare, it's our first DSiWare Game Club, it's Shantae Risky's Revenge. It's available for 1,200 Nintendo DSi points, and it's made by WayForward, who they've made A Boy and His Blob, the original Shantae, done some recent stuff like Galactic Tazball and Batman the Brave and the Bold for both Wii and DS. Shantae originated as a Game Boy Color game in about, what was it, 2002, Zach?
2002, yeah.
Yeah, so 2 years after, or a year or
almost,
so after the Game Boy...
Almost a year after the Game Boy Color.
Yeah, so kind of. It kind of got lost in the shuffle because Game Boy Advance was out. It would be like releasing a GameCube game a year after the Wii came out, which would be stupid. But yeah, Zach, I know you've played the original Shantae. Nate, have you played it at all?
I think I played a couple hours of it way back in the day, and I didn't really care for it.
Oh.
Yeah.
I know.
Wow. Yeah, I never really played it. I got the ROM the same time that Zach did. I guess this was last fall. Played a little bit of it, but then I was very busy as it was the fall.
And it's hard to play on a keyboard.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I couldn't really get a grip on. But Zach, you played the original Shantae, so I guess run us through what that game was.
It was a kind of Metroidvania game, but not as complicated. The worlds aren't nearly as complicated. They're largely left-to-right affairs. But you'd get these animal transformations, which you could kind of liken to Samus's upgrades. They give you new abilities to get farther into the world and find, you know, heart containers. And in between each world were these little towns like Scuttletown or Watertown, where you could save and buy items, and really that's the whole game.
Okay. Well then I guess I'll just move
she
right on.
Things with her hair, which is awesome.
Yes. And Shantae Risky's Revenge is the sequel to that. The game was originally supposed to come out on Game Boy Advance, or at least some form of it was going to be on Game Boy Advance, called Shantae Advance, but that never got off the ground.
Wasn't there a Shantae GameCube in the works at some
point?
Yes,
there was.
There was
that as well. So basically, WayForward, this has kind of been a pet project by them. I think it's Matt Bozon, one of the guys over at WayForward, who I think created the character Shantae, and everyone over there seemed to love it, and there was a big cult following for the game, and finally DSiWare reared its head as an avenue to release this game after, you know, Game Boy Advance failed, GameCube failed. So, the DSiWare version finally came out after about a year of delays. And Shantae Risky's Revenge is the sequel that we have been waiting for, or at least some people have been waiting for about 8 years now. And I guess, what are our first impressions on this game? What do we think about how the game looks visually? Zach, how do you think it's improved from the original game?
In terms of visual style?
Yes.
Well, it's, oh my gosh, WayForward knows how to make a sprite, man.
Yes,
and
they do.
They know how to make backgrounds that are colorful and you know, imaginative, and oh my gosh, this game looks good. You know, and it...
I mean, I love...
It looks good, but it looks very similar to the Game Boy Color game.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a very good thing. It retains the basic, you know, the basic characterizations and...
more stylistically.
Yeah, more stylistic, of course. More, better graphics, but...
Right.
Yeah, it's almost like the jump up from Mario 3 on the NES to the Mario World? All-Stars version.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not Mario World. That game looks stupid.
I'm not really going to disagree with you. I love Mario World, but the graphics are definitely really weird.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think the game looks visually stunning. Like, it's probably some of the best 2D animation I've seen in a very long time. Maybe since Batman Brave and the Bold for DS, but just also made by WayForward. But this one seems like there was a lot more effort put into it. And just the way everything animates, every character. The one thing that does kind of weird me out, and I know Nate's right here with me on this one, is how many, I guess, little girl cleavage there is in this game.
Yeah.
Because you see Shantae's got a rack that's bouncing up and down. The villain, Risky Boots, has got her rack always moving around, and every animation, even just like the standard, like just have a text thing up there and just let the screen go. Like there's just little boobs shaking around.
Yeah, or you crouch and she's shaking her butt around.
Yeah,
that was in the Game Boy Color game though.
That makes it great.
Have you ever let Shantae just stand there for a while and see if she does anything?
Actually, I haven't.
She adjusts her top after about 10 seconds.
I mean, it's kind of funny, but it's just like it's a little weird.
See, I wonder how it is that Neil and I hadn't taken the time to just sit and stare at the sprite, and yet Zach had.
Oh,
that was an accident, though. I swear to God, it was an accident. I was eating something at the time and forgot to pause.
Yeah, whatever.
So you decide to have a little, you know, mealtime entertainment.
That's right.
Sit the DS down. Hey, I can watch this. Who needs TV?
Who needs TV or the computer?
So how about, how far have we all gotten in the game?
I will agree, although I disagree about the boobage because, I won't disagree. There's a lot of boobage. There are only two boobage things that weirded me out. One was the mermaid enemies, which are topless and topless and bouncy. And the other one are the statues that you find in the temples of the completely topless dancers.
How did that weird you out?
Well, it was the game's rated E.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm just wondering, why did that tip the scale for me, basically?
Well, because it's rated E, but at least Shantae has a bra on, but these statues don't have anything on. I don't think they have nipples, but
you're right,
got
Zach.
Nothing.
It's an outrage.
It is.
It is. Yeah.
Maybe they'll patch it.
Doubt it.
All right. I can see any last thoughts about the graphics before we move on to the game?
Very, very colorful, and it looks great on an XL.
I can imagine. Even on the DSi screen, it looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think the map is shitty.
Yeah.
Oh, most definitely.
Yes. Getting on to that, I guess let's talk about the gameplay and how everything works with that. How do you guys like the combat mechanics of the magic and using your hair as your basic attack?
The hair's fine, but I wish one of her power ups let you do double the damage.
Yeah, that's the one thing, because it does get monotonous over time, where it's like every enemy takes two hits. Like it's very hard to just rock through an area unless you spam magic or you just run through.
It ends up feeling like the start of Castlevania when you're running around with the short sword.
Yeah.
And it just never changes.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't feel like there's a lot of evolution with the combat. Like it's always the same. Okay, the hair, you can whip the hair a little faster.
Magic attacks are nice.
Yeah.
But only a few of them are really useful.
Yeah, I mean, I had fun, although as I got later in the game, I kind of stopped using it. The, what is it, the pike ball or whatever, the thing that, circles around you. I used that early on, and then I ended up just using the fireball. I think the magic attacks are really good, but I don't think it really ever evolves.
No.
And, I mean, it's a downloadable game, it's a 5-hour game, but I wish the combat evolved in some kind of degree.
I really think the real evolution comes in with all the character transformations.
Yeah.
I found myself enjoying those more.
Yeah.
And those play more into the Metroid-y aspect of the game.
Yeah, there's the monkey, there's the elephant. Mm-hmm. I've not beaten the game. Is there any more? Are there any more transformations other than
Mermaid?
That?
Yeah, those are the only two I know.
Mermaid. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Where Is the mermaid, like, right at the end of it, or...?
Yeah, it's the last thing you get. You basically get it. You get it in the third dungeon, and then you subsequently use it to get into Risky's hideout.
Okay, that's actually really cool. But, I have...
Worms too.
Okay, cool. Because there's the monkey that you turn into a little monkey, and then you can, you know, jump and climb up walls, but then there's some walls that you can't climb up, and then you can maneuver around by... Later on in the game, it's required to get this, actually, and I found that out quite recently when I was playing the game earlier today, that then I had to go search around and use the game's fucking awful map to try to figure out where the hell I had to go to find the monkey power-up. And that power-up's like the monkey can, then it's the monkey bullets, and he can, you know, dash from one side to the other and stuff like that.
And then the elephant has a second power-up, too. It can stomp.
Yeah.
And the mermaid has a second power-up, too.
Mm. Yep. But, I mean, the transformations are really cool, and I love, like, just fucking shit up with the elephant, and the monkey's really cool as well.
I do wish that the animal transformations are not all that useful outside of those little bonus caves that you find.
Yeah.
And the dungeons. I kind of wish that the game had more of an organic Metroid-y feel to it.
Yeah, you know, it feels actually, very segmented.
I find that I use the monkey power a lot, especially in areas where the platforming's really tight.
Yeah.
And I'm not really concerned with killing everything. I just want to get through. I'll usually use the monkey, especially if I have to hit a small platform.
Although, while we're talking about that, did anyone have the trouble where it's really hard to get Shantae to, like, grip on to, like, ropes or chains or whatever to move up and down?
Chains are tough, yeah.
It's just annoying. Like, she doesn't, like, stick to him. It's like you have to, like, hold a button down to grab it.
Yeah.
You have to, like, hold... Like, I found myself just holding up, and then I'd have to just... I would automatically just go up the chain because I just didn't want to fall down, and I had too much trouble with that.
Yeah, no, it's... The chain thing is the most...
I didn't really have any trouble with that. I don't know if that's just because I naturally just held up for the whole thing. Was that a problem?
Yeah.
Like... Yeah.
I also, you know what, I ran into a bug. If you guys haven't beaten the game, I'm not going to ruin it for anybody, but the last boss is very similar to the first boss. You know
what, the little squid?
No, before the squid. Risky's boat.
Oh, okay.
You fight kind of an upgraded version of Risky's boat. And
thanks for not spoiling anything.
You bet. No problem. That's not the last boss, though. It's kind of an easy fight. But there were times where the boat would expose its weak point in the second fight, and you'd attack it, and nothing would happen.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That sucks.
It does.
Is it just because it was a really specific hitbox, or was it...
Just didn't register.
That's the worst.
Yeah. Oh, well.
I mean, I found the boss design for the most part to be kind of interesting. Like, the little screen boss was cool. I didn't like how the second dungeon, it was just kind of like, run through. It's like a gauntlet. Like,
the battle tower, right?
Battle tower.
I did not like the battle tower.
I thought that was like cheaping out in the way of like, the beginning of Wind Waker or the first half of Wind Waker. I felt cheated when it was like, wait a minute, there's no third dungeon. He's just gonna give me the fucking thing. What the hell, guy? Like, that's what I felt like when I realized
really
that was the second
dungeon.
I got
really far and I died, and it was, just... What is this, Etrian Odyssey? No.
Yeah. Yeah, like, and I realized as I went through it again that I was, like, right near the fucking top, too.
I didn't like that it
was
timed.
I was, too.
The timing was annoying to me.
I didn't have an issue.
That's why I died.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because of the time.
And like we mentioned, the comet just isn't interesting enough to warrant a long series of kill rooms.
But, like, the platforming is really fun. And when they have that, like, it's so segmented that, like, the dungeons are really cool, but then the overworld's bland. And then the secret caves are kind of cool, but there's no way to know what secret caves you went through and what
you've already been to. I wish
there was some way to mark that, whether there was, like, a Wind Waker marking of the map or even just more of a guided thing where it was
even
like, alright.
Where they are.
Yeah.
Even
like,
where
it's
they
just
are.
A crapshoot. Like, I don't really have any urge to go back and seek everything out where, the game like Super Metroid or even the early Metroid games where it's not spelled out to you like Metroid Other M is.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least in Super Metroid, there was a dot that showed you where shit was.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like, I wish there was that. In the, and I guess let's just go on to the map, which you get
lack
it
of map.
Early on in the game, and that the map is just awful. Like, it kind of tells you an approximation of where you are. It gives you a hint
in
of where you...
In relation to everything else, really.
Yeah, it's just really... Right. In dungeons, it doesn't give you any details.
It all just goes out the window. Dungeons. When you go in a cave, yeah. The one part that connected the starting area via a cave, like in the desert,
right?
Yeah, let you kind of go towards. And then there were separate exits, and it's just, where do I exit to go to this spot on the map? Yeah. I have no idea, because I'm just a little blip on a square.
And it took me, it is a 5-hour game, but it took me an additional almost 2 hours to go through the entire world, every cave, every dungeon again to find all the jam.
Yeah.
And see, I just wasn't motivated.
I will not
do that at all.
And because... you should not be. You should not be, because you don't get shit for doing that.
Okay.
But, like, I got stuck in the beginning. Like, I was wandering around. Like, I was having fun kind of just fucking around in the world. But I just couldn't figure out where the game wanted me to go.
Oh,
it would be
Ronnie
like,
Tops
go
is.
Over here. And then I was like, all right, I'm here.
It's because you have to talk with that one guy, and he's like, maybe you should go look for your zombie friend. She should be at the end of the forest, and then
but then the end of the
around.
Forest is hard to find because you have to take a specific path
right.
in and out of
I
the
I do
path.
Really like how that forest is set up, where they have, like, you're going, like, they have the different layers.
I actually like that
it's
mechanic.
Cool when you
it's
find
cool
that,
mechanic.
You know, because...
It's very underutilized, though. There's only the two sections.
Yeah, there's only the
it.
Town and that
And the town. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Fine.
And it's a cool mechanic, and I think that that's part of the problem is the first time you have to find something specific, you're thrown into an area that's completely layered.
Yeah, I wish that was like the second or third area that we went to. Like, I feel like it would have been better to go to the desert first, but that's not where Ronnie Tops lives, and that's where you have to go first.
Yeah. And the other thing I'll say I didn't like about the beginning of the game is, you know, for the first probably half hour, you're kind of fetch questing.
Yeah.
And then it drops that. And it becomes a... It doesn't totally drop it, but it's not nearly as important. And then at the very end of the game, you're given, like, two fetch quests in a row.
I must admit, I was really worried when I found out, like, oh, there's someone's dog or whatever. But I got lucky, and I didn't find the girl that needed the dog first. So I was lucky enough to stumble upon the fetch quest in, like, the optimal order.
Yeah.
But I was worried that I was going to get more of those.
I stumbled upon it in the wrong order and was just like, oh, shit.
Yeah, you're like, oh, wait, but why do I even need to get food from you? Is it a power-up, or do I need it to get into a dungeon or something?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it's not really spelled out.
Had you not been to the dungeon and, like, clicked on it and gotten that little hint, you would have no idea what the motivation would be for, you know, helping that girl out. And you may not have found Roddy Tops and made the connection. Hmm.
Yeah. The more I talk about this game, the more things are popping out at me.
But it's fun. You're having fun most of the time.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's a great game. I mean, there's definitely issues. And I feel like it's a little rough around the edges, but the experience is still just a lot of fun. And I mean, it's not like it's an overly long game. Like,
no,
not at all.
I think right now I might be nearing 3 hours, and I just got to the third dungeon. So.
I'm around where you are, Neil. And you know what? They're not asking that much for it, though. And it feels right.
It's totally worth $12.
Yeah,
and
$12.
Totally I don't know. I don't know. I think I may have taken this out of the review, but you did make the thing about how you said in your initial draft of the review about how it's a bargain for twice the price, and I totally agree with that. Oh, okay, I did? Okay,
really?
Cool.
I don't think it is.
I think it would have been a perfectly fine retail release. I would have bought
it. I think if it was a $20 game, it would have been perfectly fine.
Yeah,
$30,
yeah.
I would have felt a little ripped off. It's like Batman the Brave and the Bold, where, except for I think this is better than Batman Brave and the Bold. And I think Batman Brave and the Bold is really fucking good. But Batman Brave and the Bold was about 3 or 4 hours. I would have paid $20 for that game. I mean, I got the review copy for it, but I don't think I would have been too happy about a $30 purchase for this game, but... It's still really good.
I wouldn't be that upset. I think they did a fantastic job, and it provides a lot of... But there's a lot of room to grow for the next game.
Yeah.
It definitely seems like a sampling of sorts.
Yeah,
the whole game world seems very condensed.
Yeah, it does. That's a good way to put it. You get
to the dungeons very quickly. You know, there's not a lot of overworld stuff, and everything seems sort of brief and compacted.
Yeah, now, okay, you finish.
No, go ahead.
Zach, for comparison, how long was the Game Boy Color game?
You know, it was about the same.
Okay.
Maybe a little
but
longer.
But weren't there multiple towns?
Yes, but you really just save your game.
That doesn't necessarily add.
Do item yeah, shit okay. there.
And there's still like three dungeons or something about that.
I don't recall how many dungeons there are. I've never beat the original game.
Oh, okay.
I know. I'm gonna get to it. But I think I would like to see them release the original on the 3DS Virtual Console.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
That'd be great, yeah.
And I think that would make a lot of sense, and I think it would sell very well. And maybe you know, the sales of this game will be good, and it will encourage maybe some other publisher to pick the contact way forward and maybe try to get a full-on retail sequel to it.
Yeah.
I would love that.
I think that's what it needs. I think the whole interface, the package that the game is in, I mean, you know, not the physical packaging, feels a little rushed.
Yeah.
You know, like, the map, the menus don't, you know, there's no
like, there's definitely, whatever. It lacks a lot of polish, but it's still a very good, it's, like, very good groundwork. It needs someone to come in and be like, all right, guys, you need to clean up that and do that and make this map actually fucking functional.
Like, it's clear that most of the effort went into the graphics and music. The music is phenomenal.
The music's really cool.
Great.
It fits perfectly with, like, the Arabian theme of everything. And
as good as they did with the in-game graphics, I think the character art's just terrible.
I actually like the character art.
Well, that's because you like little
The ones during dialogue scenes.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Really? I think the old guy just looks like a lazy... like. And
oh,
your
yeah,
friend
he doesn't
looks
look
kinda,
so great.
Your friend looks like an idiot.
You mean Roddy Tops?
I do like.
No, the dude in the starting town.
Oh, the dude, yeah. Well, the artist is clearly predisposed to drawing pretty women.
Well, no, he doesn't even draw pretty women. He draws like 15-year-olds that look like they're half cat and purple. But you know, I guess we all have our own.
Yeah,
taste.
I'm not sure why she has purple skin. Well, that's a little weird.
Or why she looks like a cat.
Row. But. I do like, I mean, there's definitely a little, like, kind of learning curve, almost, in how to get around in the game. Mm-hmm. And they do kind of, like, if you talk to people, it helps out a lot. And I do like how they have, it's like, go to one of these three people, and they will tell you what you have to do next. And I like that, because there would be a point where, like, I would go and be like, alright, I don't know where the fuck to go. And then I just go to the town, talk to one of those three people. But it's kind of hard to get to that point. Like, there needed to be a stronger way to be like, yo, go over there, instead of, like, being like, alright, if you hunt out and talk to this person, then we'll tell you that you have to talk to this person, and then you'll find out where you have to go.
And really, that was probably just an artificial extension of the game, but...
Yeah.
I guess they felt like they needed that.
Yeah.
You know, it does feel kind of like the game is... well, I think you're right, Nate. It feels condensed, because you go from...
It really does.
You get a power from a dungeon, and you literally use that power to get to the next dungeon.
Yeah.
You know, and then, I mean, there's very little, aside from those silly caves, which are frustrating.
Well, I mean, they do force you to look for the elephant stomp and the monkey bullet to get to the third dungeon.
And those are just used to get to the next dungeon.
Well, and I think... one negative aspect of condensing the game, I mean, obviously it helps make it a more fitting candidate for a download release, but the transition from area to area feels so artificial.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
I'm just running through this desert town. Oh, I'm now in a lush forest.
Yeah.
There's no, you know, there's no
between.
And they
are all separated by Scuttle Town.
Well, and they're all individual, they're not individual screens, but yeah. It's really weird, that sort of an awkward transition.
I do like the little teleporting things. There's a lot of humor in the game too, like just how the boss.
There is a lot of self-referential stuff.
Yeah,
I have found myself laughing during the game.
Yeah, it's
pretty
quite
funny,
chuckle-worthy.
And I do like how they have like the zombies are like, yeah, we need some coffee, because if we don't have coffee, then we're just gonna be like murder our brains.
Some of the jokes feel a little
a little forced.
Oh, we had to make this joke here because it's, you know, gamers are playing this game. This is a gamer's game. Let's make a joke that gamers like. Okay.
Yeah.
I throw that in the Cthulhu and Scribblenauts pile. But, you know.
There's, you know, surprising, you know, the amount of boobage in this game reminds me of that.
It all comes back to those two things, doesn't it?
Remember the Azuma or Izumi Game Boy roguelikes or DS roguelikes?
Yeah, Azuma.
The ninja ones or whatever? The Legend of the
ninja
something.
Or something.
Guardians of Gahul.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's a game with a lot of boobage, and and half the dialogue in that game was about or sort of about the character's boobs. And I was happy that WayForward didn't go that route with the dialogue here.
Yep.
They easily could have turned it into a very campy...
You're right, Zach. They were very tasteful. Just throughout the whole thing. It was nothing but class.
Nothing but class, sir.
With that half-dressed genie.
Oh, God. Right. You know what this reminds me of? I got the Etrian Odyssey 3 art book shipped with the game.
Was this
and
one of Atlas's you can't help but get the special editions?
Yeah,
well, it was a pre-order bonus.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, whatever. But I was flipping through it just to see, okay, is this even worth it? And generally, I'm not that interested in art books. And there was a page that was showing all the characters from the game, and there's, like, this maid-type girl and an arrow pointing towards her chest and the word huge.
Oh, my God. Oh my gosh, yesterday I got Trauma Team from Andy, and I opened up the box.
So
and,
many boobs.
I opened up the box, and on the front cover of the instruction manual is the woman who does the ambulance, and she's
bending the shower
over,
shot.
And the rack is basically falling out.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, it's going to be that kind of
and
game.
And Zach had a mini heart attack.
I was like, I'm gonna like
I
this
thought you
one.
Were gonna say a mini hard.
Oh, well, that's always the case with Zach, right?
Oh.
Wah. Mini
wah,
Zach.
Wah, wah. I think my wife might disagree.
And yet it moves.
Ba-blam!
Oh, all right. I think, do we have anything else to say? Yeah. Shay about Shantae.
No, that's appropriate. I think we're done shitting.
If you have a DSi or a DSi XL, you should buy it, because it, despite
definitely.
Our misgivings,
yeah, no,
it is awesome.
Yeah,
it's always
and, I mean,
easier to talk about what you don't like, but
that's true.
It should come through that it's a great experience.
It's a fantastic platformer. The Metroidvania stuff's a little on the light side, and a little clumsily implemented. But
and that's because
it's a really fun
little,
game.
Like it's rushing the player through a little bit.
Yeah. But for
$12,
I mean,
has more of that.
It is the most expensive game on the DSi shop right now, but it's totally worth that.
Well,
and
I expect
while you're
Cave
at
Story's
it,
coming out at that price, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, Cave Story would be worth it at $12. I don't care. I'm gonna buy that game on DSiWare.
But are they gonna be releasing the full WiiWare version or just like the main game?
Well,
I'm not really sure.
The WiiWare version was the main game.
Yeah, but it had all those extra modes.
What? Really?
Yeah, it did. There was like a boss rush mode.
And
no.
It had the curly brace mode, and it had the ability to play as the original with the original graphics and music.
I have the music just running through my head. Like that.
It's such good music in that game, too.
It really is.
It's great, yeah. Oh, I like the original score a little more.
I haven't listened to that.
I see where people are coming from with loving the original score, but we already did a game club about this game.
That's what we did.
Well,
it will probably
for it.
Yeah. but Shantae is awesome. And Zach, by any chance, you got Mighty Flip Champs, right?
Yes.
What
hard.
Mode
it's
did you
hard
get?
As hell.
Yeah, I know. I have it too, but I realized it was on my SD card, so it doesn't read that I have it because it's not on my DSi at the time, and
the,
I haven't
the
switched
bonuses
it over.
Are nothing to get excited about. You just
what,
get
like
money.
What did you get?
You get
okay.
Money. You get 100, 200, or 300 rupees, depending on how complete you've completed the game.
I don't like that exchange rate.
Me neither. If you've played the hell out of Mighty Flips Champs, and you know, which amounts to repeatedly hitting your head against a wall,
I like Mighty Flip Champs a lot. I mean, it's that's another hard one with. Yeah, it's really hard, but I like the mechanic. I like the idea of it a lot.
Yeah, the idea
of it's
fun. I
like the graphics
in
it.
Shut up. It's a hard game.
$20. Get a $20 card. Get Mighty Flip Champs and Shantae.
That's exactly what I did.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Or get Rummy Q. All right. And that's I think all we got to say about Shantae Risky's Revenge. I think all three of us can do nothing but highly recommend this game for you, despite talking about the bad things about it.
Yeah.
If you have a DSi or a DSi XL, totally get this game. Or if you plan on getting a 3DS, one of the first things that you should do when if the DSiWare shop is going to be there day one is just get this game, because it's excellent.
It is. Lots of boobs.
Definitely the best game on the service.
Yeah.
I agree. Close second is Dark Void Zero.
I wouldn't go that far. I like the art style games, but then it's all personal preference.
Yeah, art style.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us for another Game Club, and see you guys in 2 weeks on the regular episode of Newscast.
Bye.
Bye.